You know, we've been sitting back here over the recent history and watching NVIDIA and all these stocks run like crazy. Boy, it's been a long time since we saw Dallas-based Texas Instruments move $10 in one day, but that's exactly what happened on Wednesday, up over 6% after the earnings report. Maybe more importantly, the guidance report. Rafael Lazardi's chief financial officer of Texas Instruments and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Good to be here, David. Thank you.
So it's like the whole world just suddenly woke up and noticed Texas Instruments. Is the long slide in analog chips over with?
We reported yesterday our revenue actually decreased 16% from the same quarter a year ago and 10% sequentially as revenue declined across all end markets. But as you pointed out on the on our guide for second quarter, the midpoint of this range on that guide, but the midpoint of that guide was up about 4%. So I think that's what people were keen on.
You know, we saw earnings out of General Motors the other day, and some of the other car companies. Their business seems to be perking up. In fact, stronger than expected. Automotive is a big part of your business, and I know it was down, what, lower single digits year over year in the first quarter. Is that expected to turn around?
Well, so let me first step back and review that. So we talked about how our end markets did in first quarter. Automotive, on a sequential basis, fourth to first, was down mid-single digits. Industrial was also down mid-single digits. Personal electronics was actually down mid-teens, right? So those are the three largest markets that we have. But, you know, we don't give guidance by end market on our future quarter. It's hard enough to give guidance on the whole company. It's much harder to go piece by piece. But broadly speaking, you know, at the company level, we're expecting about a 4% sequential increase. Some of that is the calculator business, which, you know, we're back to school, does have an uptick in second quarter.
Is that where the personal electronics uptick came from? Because that area was one of the exceptions.
Yeah, so on a year-on-year basis, personal electronics was up in first quarter, but that's not the calculator business. The calculator business, we put that in our other category because it's relatively small. It's running close to 2 or 3% of the company, but it does have a seasonal impact going into second quarter. That's why we call it out sometimes.
You know, the other thing I noticed some chatter about investment tax credits, maybe $300 million right away, maybe $1 billion. Was that unexpected?
So let me first review the numbers, and for your audience out there. So there's the CHIPS Act that Congress passed a few years ago that has two components, at least as it pertained to us, the ITC investment tax credit and the grant. On the ITC, we qualify for that. We've been accruing that since the beginning of the since the law was passed. And we're about to get the first tranche of cash, not the accrual. The accrual is more of an accounting process that shows on the P&L, but the actual cash, we're about to get that in second quarter, $300 million for the year. As you pointed out, will be about $1 billion. And that was a slight change versus what we expected before, just given how the regulations changed recently, that the Department of Commerce disclosed those. The other component of the CHIPS Act is the grant, and we applied, we're waiting to hear from the Department of Commerce on that front. You've heard other companies already announce theirs. That's because the what's called the advanced semiconductors, lithographies, lower nanometers, that happened first, and we are sort of in the second tranche of that with the legacy semiconductors, analog and embedded, et cetera.
So nothing's implied by the timing, because you're right. I mean, we've already heard Samsung and who, Intel and Taiwan Semiconductor all getting, you know, multi-billion-dollar grants.
That's what they've announced, correct, yeah. We are waiting to hear from Commerce in our case.
Have you quantified the order of magnitude of what you're expecting or what you want from the Commerce Department?
We have not.
And would that be directed toward, among other things, Sherman and the growth that you're showing up there, the building?
Yeah, so we have we had a couple applications, a few applications, and one was for Sherman, one was for our investments in Lehigh in Utah. So very much Sherman is a pretty large component of that application.
Well, there you're in our backyard. Update us on Sherman. How's it going there?
It's going very well, on time. In fact, the building will be ready for occupancy later this year, and then we'll be installing the tools shortly after that, and then start we'll start working on qualifying those tools and qualifying the process. Ballpark numbers, the building with all the facilities, equipment that goes in there, the clean room, that costs about $2.5 billion. So we're talking about a lot of money for the building, but what's really expensive is the tools.
Yeah.
That's another $4.5 to $5 billion. The tools that go in there, the photolithography scanners are the most expensive one of those. People read about those, but then there's a bunch of other tools that are really, really expensive. So
we've talked in, yep, in the past. I remember, I guess more recently for me, I remember in the expansion in Richardson, you built it out, but then you didn't equip it right away. You were kind of waiting for demand to catch up, but you had everything ready to go when the demand was there. What do you think in Sherman? Is that going to be used right away? Will you outfit it and hire and have it running as soon as you possibly can?
So we're moving very aggressively in Sherman. Given the how this business works, that you don't want to be late to the party, so we're moving fast. We're essentially as fast as possible, because having the capacity a little ahead of time, while not ideal, is not the end of the world. But having it late does hurt you, so we don't want to be late to the next upturn.
So are you hiring now, or do you know where you're going to get people? Do you have any concerns about finding workers?
No, I mean, no concern that I would raise here. Of course, there's a lot of blocking and tackling, and our HR team is doing a really good job with the hiring process. We also have good relations and working with local community colleges to help train people, both in Sherman and also in Richardson and Dallas, to help with that. But given the fact that it's Sherman is not that far from Richardson and Dallas, we have a strong presence there. The local government there has been very helpful. So we don't have any bottlenecks in terms of people that I would point to.
You all you've concentrated on analog chips, basic blocking and tackling, I guess, of the chip market. And of course, meanwhile, NVIDIA is selling chips that, you know, I go for the price of a Chevy Suburban or something apiece. Yours are like the price of a Three Musketeers bar. You ever wish you were this Chevy Suburban market?
No, you know, it's just a different business model. It's apples and oranges. Our strength, our competitive advantages are in the analog and embedded space. And from a profitability standpoint, it is a great business model to have the tools, for example, that we use in the factory last decades. So once you make the investment once, but then you derive profitable revenue from that for a long, long time. The R&D investment is also one that is very diverse in nature and lasts for a long time. So we're pleased with that, with the business model and the competitive advantages that we created over the years and the decades. And the execution also needs to be there. So it's not just the strategy, but the execution. We continue to work really, really hard to execute flawlessly.
Well, Rafael Lazzardi is the Chief Financial Officer for Texas Instruments, and Wall Street has fallen back in love with TI. It's good to see. It's good to spend some time with you, sir.
Good to talk to you, David. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.